There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Hollywood Casino in Charlestown, West Virginia. April's featured entertainment includes Los Lobos on the 12th, Josh Turner on the 13th, and The Steel Woods on the 26th. Details and tickets at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Must be 21 to enter the casino floor and attend a show. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Five-time Grammy winner Robert Glasper hosts a black radio tribute to Duke Ellington and J. Dilla this Saturday at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. I caught up with Glasper to preview the event and to chronicle his prolific career in jazz, hip-hop, and R&B. Hey, Robert Glasper, hey, thanks for joining us on WTOP again.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
Now, I think we spoke, I think in 2020, it was at the very beginning of the pandemic, you came to the Birchmere in Virginia, and I think you've won like at least two more Grammys since then, so we have a lot we can cover. But I want to tell everyone the main reason is because you're coming to the Kennedy Center for the Hip Hop And Festival. Your show will be on March 30th. I think the festival runs, you know, a little longer than that, but tell us about this event. It's called Black Radio, a Duke and Dilla celebration. What have we got?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Duke Ellington is like such an influence on me and on the culture, on all of black music, really. You know what I mean? So many things stem from Duke Ellington. So I love paying tribute to him. And J. Dilla is also, in his own right, the same in his own right, you know. He's been a big influence on me, a big influence on my generation, the generation before, just the way we even approach playing live music. You know, he's a producer that changed the way people actually play live music, you know. And he's also someone that I've got the chance to work with, in real life, you know, before he passed away. I had the honor of working with him. So both of their... Duke Ellington would be 125 this year, and J. Dilla would be 50. Wow. You know, so I felt like, hey, let's do a Dilla Duke tribute. Do it together. You know what I mean? I thought that would be fun.
I love the whole concept of that. The Duke and Dilla, you got the alliteration going and everything. The anniversaries, synergy of the anniversary years too. It's pretty cool. Now, not only are you, you know, paying tribute to those two icons, you also have some pretty big heavy hitters as special guests. Remind our listeners, there's another hip hop legend going to be here on the bill.
Absolutely. The legendary group De La Soul will be my special guest for that night. De La and Dilla have collaborated on a few joints, you know, and one of the most iconic joints that really influenced my playing, influenced me. I used to play this beat for all the time before Dilla passed away. Stakes is High, to be specific, it's called Stakes is High. It's a backbone of the hip hop community, just one of the most legendary tracks and songs of all time. And De La Soul is one of the most legendary groups of all time. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, they're going to be my special guests, alongside some special surprise guests that I can't mention.
Oh, you can't mention other surprise guests. Okay. Well, if
Absolutely.
It's the website says, you know, you'll have the Black Radio Orchestra, you'll have Derek
Absolutely.
Hodge. Derek Hodge.
Absolutely.
Kareem Hit Riggins.
Derek Hodge. Yeah, so Derek Hodge is going to, that's my longtime collaborator. We were on so many records together. He's on so many of my records, All the Black Radio records. And he's an amazing composer and arranger as well for orchestra, you know, so. We've done things with orchestra in the past, but we've never, so I wanted to bring it I want to do this because we did something with orchestra with at Kennedy Center. Maybe I feel like 2 years ago for the, it was a Black radio anniversary, a 10 year anniversary. So yeah, it was literally 2022 with the orchestra. So Derek's going to arrange this thing with Duke and Dilla, and it's going to be so fun. We've been having so much fun arranging these songs and putting things together. You know, we're like, mashing Dilla and Duke together, you know, in a lot of things, and it's going to be awesome.
So it's not going to be just me, myself, and I. It'll be you and a bunch of people.
Absolutely. I see what you did there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, that's like the most low-hanging fruit of a De La Soul reference. So, I mean, of hopefully course, I got to throw out something that everybody's going to get. But hey,
absolutely. Real quick,
I know you're more big picture, like this is the hip hop and festival. And I believe you're like the founding Kennedy Center Hip Hop Culture Council member. Tell me more about sort of that role brought, you know, more broadly at the Kennedy Center and how you're trying to do these festivals.
Yeah, so my good friend Simone over at Kennedy Center, she put me on the hip hop council. You know, it's myself and alongside the legendary Q-Tip. You know what I mean? And so, I actually helped open the Reach building when they first opened the Reach building. Right. You know what I mean? So I do a lot of stuff. You know, with that and you know. A lot of community stuff, a lot of stuff, having kids come and you know, just check out sound checks or talking or just, you know, kind of outreaching at the same time and doing some really, really cool cultural hip hop stuff there. And, you know, it's been a great situation.
Wow. I mean, that's really cool to have you and Q-Tip, you know, not only Tribe Called Quest stuff, but, you know, also like solo stuff, like Vibrant Thing. That was like my jam.
For
back.
Sure. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. And that's Dilla. Vibrant Thing is Dilla.
That's Dilla as
Dilla
well.
Producing absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So,
It all ties together as we celebrate right. the festival here. It's awesome. Well, like I mentioned, you know, we did speak a couple years ago, so I doubt you'll give all of the same answers when I ask these other questions, but maybe we'll see. I'd like to go through some of your superhero origin story, at least one, you know, a little bit of it, touch on it again in case folks right. missed that. So I know you were born in Houston, Texas in 78 and sort of like a musical family. Remind us sort of your roots and how you ended up, you know, making your way to, what was it, New School in New York, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my mother was a singer and a pianist, and she used to take me everywhere, you know, to all of her gigs, all her shows. And so I kind of just grew up in the music without even, you know, just it was just what it was. I lived at rehearsals and backstage at shows and, you know, and so eventually, you know, I started playing the piano. I was into sports hardcore, but eventually I started playing piano around age 12, you know, and then I got kind of serious about it. Ended up going to the high school for the performing arts in Houston. That's where I went to school with Beyonce and my best friend, Brian Michael Cox, legendary producer, and a bunch of other great musicians, you know, went to that school as well. And so
wait, at the same time, you're not just listing fellow famous alums, like you were there in classes with Beyonce.
Oh yeah, well she was a freshman, I was a senior, so we weren't in the same classes, but we went to school together. You know, yeah, we got to interact. So, you know, yeah, that's my sis to this day. To this day, we're at the Grammys just now talking. You know, and I have my son with me, so you know, it was cool. He's like, "Dad, you actually really know her." You know, so.
Yeah, you're like, "I've been trying to tell you."
Right, exactly. So yeah, those are people I actually went to school with. So. You know, it was just that was a budding era for just great artists at that school, you know, and from there I got a full scholarship to the New School in New York City. So went to college there and that's where everything kind of started rolling from there, you know.
Because that's where you met Bilal, right?
I met Bilal in college at that time, same around that same time is when I met Q-Tip and Common and Mos Def and, you know, all the cats. So once I moved to New York, that's when the ball started rolling of me mixing into this R&B and hip hop world and jazz world heavy. You know, that's where it all kind of came together.
Right. I think I remember you saying in our last interview that, you know, you and Bilal were recording in like a, it was like a recording studio near the college with the drummer for the Spin Doctors, I believe.
Oh, exactly.
Yep. Right.
Aaron Comas. And we did Bilal's very first demo in Aaron Comas' basement. And from that demo, there's a song called When Will You Call that Bilal's eventually, when he got a manager, the manager played that song for Jimmy Iovine at Interscope Records, and Jimmy turned it off halfway through and signed him. And then
I love it.
Pretty much, that was pretty much the thing from that point on. And the first person that we worked with was Jay Dilla. And Bilal graciously took me with him to Detroit. And that's where I met Dilla. And we worked with him for like 2 weeks, week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that straight. And that literally that time period changed my life for sure. I met Kareem Riggins. I met Kareem Riggins the first day going to Dilla's house in the basement with Dilla. He was already there with Dilla.
Whoa.
You know, and that's when I met Kareem. And Kareem's doing the after party for my Dilla Meet Duke show, you know.
Right, right. So after the performance, there's going to be a big after party.
Spinning, yeah.
I assume at the Kennedy Center party as well, right?
Yeah, I think it's in the next building over or something like that. Yep.
That's really cool. But like you said, yeah, you're all meeting. That's funny. Like, you know, he's there in the basement. All these cats are all, you're meeting them all even back then. Of course, you said that's life changing. You start, you know, touring with Erykah Badu, and you mentioned Common and, you know, The Roots and Christian McBride and Terrence Blanchard. All like that. You're starting to meet all the heavy hitters now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's die. We got to talk Black Radio. I mean, I know. I mean, there were several albums before that. We don't have all day to talk about it, but Mood, Canvas, In My Element, Double Book. Yep. But then Black Radio was like the huge, huge breakthrough. Won the Grammy for R&B, best R&B album. I believe last time you said it was not the result. You like the result, but you said that like the process of trying to, you know, get Lupe Fiasco and Erykah Badu and Layla Hathaway. You called it, quote, a nightmare trying to organize all of that. Is that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because it continues to be like it's hard, you know, it's because, you know, artists, because especially back then, it was harder. I believe it was harder because back then the whole point was having everybody in the studio. I was still coming from very much a jazz place.
Yeah.
With it. You know what I mean? So I wasn't into like, oh, send me files and all that stuff. That wasn't a thing for me. I was just like, hey, we all got to do this and we all need to be in the studio. You know, everybody needs to be in the studio when they do their song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
screw this sending files crap.
Yeah. And during that time period, you know, you have to deal with all these different artists. They're all on tour and doing their own thing. And you have to deal with each person's art assistant, each person's manager, each person's booking agent, each person's like label and each person's lawyer. You know what I mean? So just going through that process with every single person, trying to get them in person was harder, much harder. I did Black Radio 3 pretty much sharing files because it was during the pandemic. You know what I mean? So, and nothing, there was nothing else to do. And, you know, that was probably the easiest record and the hardest record at the same time, you know, because everybody was more accessible because no one was on tour. You know, no one was that busy. They were at home. And it was just a point of who's not depressed and who can actually make some music right now.
Right, exactly. And then, well, and just to clarify, I want to, or just for our listeners, just to clarify, everyone I mentioned was Black Radio in 2013. And then there was Black Radio 2 in 2014, which was like Common and Brandy and what, Faith Evans, Jill Scott, Norah Jones, Snoop Dogg, all that. And you're talking about Black Radio 3 that just came out like kind of a couple years ago, 2022.
2022, yeah. 2022. And that came out good. I did that literally smack dab in the middle of the pandemic. You know, I needed something to do. And I wasn't going to do one. That's why it took so long for me to do another Black Radio. It took like 8 years. But I wasn't going to do another one, you know. But fans kept asking for it. And I felt like a musical responder at that time. You know what I mean? Like musical first responder. You know, it's like, hey, what can I do to help people in the middle of this pandemic? And I was like, I can give my fans what they've been wanting. Black Radio 3. And I felt like I was giving artists something to do. Some artists were itching to do something, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, well, shoot, here's something. You want to jump on this record? You know? And they would do it and send files. The hard part about it is we're not in the studio together, so I have less input. and let's, you know, hey, do this over, try this, do this, you know, right. Let's try this over here. You know, it's pretty much whatever they send me, that was it. You got one chance pretty much to get artists in the studio, off the couch in the studio. You got one chance. So I kind of had to deal with what I got, but what I got was, you know, more than enough. So it really worked out.
I would say you won Best R&B Album again, the Grammys for that. So I Absolutely. Guess this file swapping worked out. but yeah, I mean, and we got to remind everybody that one, you know, Part 3, Black Radio 3 had BJ the Chicago Kid and Common again, but also Esperanza Spalding and Gregory Porter and her. And I mean, I could go out, Lettucey. Yeah. I mean, at Music Soul Chat, we could go all day with the Q-Tip. But But yeah, and that's cool because I just looked it up and you and I spoke in October of 2020. And so that would have been, you know, what, like pushing almost a year into the pandemic because it started in March.
Right.
Yeah. Right, so, yeah. Wow. So I like that. Musical first responder. I like that. I like that phrase.
Yeah. That, I love it. I was using that a lot during the pandemic. That was my go-to phrase.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You should patent that, baby. That's your trademark.
Yeah.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts, and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
But hey, I also, in addition to, you know, all the three Black Radio albums, I want to remind people you were also on Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. You were on, you did the keys on These Walls and won for that too, right? And to remind us, it was like a warm up. You weren't even really preparing to do that. That was like your piano warm up.
Yeah. So literally, shout out to Terrence Martin. He called me to do some stuff for Kendrick. So I ended up playing like 8 songs on the record, you know, on the whole record. But there's one particular song we recorded in Terrace's garage, right? In his studio in his garage. And while he was playing the song, he just wanted me to lay some keys on it. So I was just learning it and listening to it just and warming up. So I was just playing some stuff, just warming up, you know, messing around, really.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, I'm ready. Then we did an actual take, one take through, you know, it was fine. And then the way Kendrick released the album, like, he just released it out of the blue. Like, people didn't know when it was going to be released. So I heard it when the rest of the world heard it. And when I heard it, I was like, oh, snap. They put my warm-up when I was kind of chopping out and warming up over the changes. They put it in the middle of the song as a solo, as an actual piano solo, road solo, you know, keyboard solo. I was like, oh, snap.
All right. They put that. It's like the NBA. They put the layup lines. They put it in the highlight tape.
Absolutely. Which if I would have known that, I would have asked for a feature credit. And that would have been a whole different situation.
Exactly. Monetarily.
But monetarily, it's a whole situation. And I would have got a trophy, an actual trophy for Grammy. I got a certificate for playing keys. You know what I mean? Okay. But when you're a feature it won Hip Hop Song of the Year.
Yeah.
So when you're a feature on the Hip Hop Song of the Year, you're supposed to get a trophy. So technically, I'm supposed to have a hip hop trophy, which would be amazing.
You like a little extra trophy instead. I mean, you could frame the certificate, I guess, but it's not the same.
Sure. Not the same thing.
You know what the Grammys is saying? F your feelings, like your album.
Exactly
but actually, you won R&B song for that, right? Better than you imagined.
Better than I imagined. I won. That was best R&B song for Black Radio 3, actually. Yeah.
But did you get a statue for that, 3, though? Did you get an actual trophy?
Yes, I did get a statue for that. Yep, okay. I got an actual trophy for that. So Black Radio 3 has won me 2 actual trophies.
Okay.
And we were also nominated for best engineered album for that as well.
Well, there you go.
And that album was engineered. That was the only album I've ever done that was not engineered in a major studio.
Okay.
That album, Black Radio 3, was made in the back of my house in the studio that Terrace and my engineer, Q Million, built from the ground up. It was literally an empty one-bedroom apartment in the back of our complex. And we took it over during the pandemic and made it into a studio. And it got nominated for Best Engineered Album. That's amazing.
Wow. So like a pandemic renovation project. It went, you literally went from pandemic for a music first responder to musical, I don't know, tool man Taylor. Oh. That's awesome.
Right. I'll take it. For sure.
That's freaking up. Well, hey, real quick, you mentioned Terrace Martin. Do you know Marcus Moore?
I don't know. What does he do?
He was my coworker at TOP. He wrote Kendrick's one of his biographies, but he knew Terrace Martin. Anyway,
okay,
just didn't know if he knew Marcus.
Gotcha. Oh, wait, did he write the Pimp a Butterfly book?
Yes. The Butterfly Effect. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I do know him. Yep. Because he interviewed me for that.
He actually interviewed you for that. Anyway. All right.
Yep,
cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He did.
Shout out Marcus. He's left DC and went up to New York at Bandcamp and New York Times all
word
that
up.
Stuff. But anyway, all right, shout
word,
out Marcus.
Word.
But hey, I'm a big movie guy, and you know, I'm a movie critic too. So I want to touch on your two Hollywood. Well, it's probably been more than two now, but remind everyone you did the Grammy winning soundtrack for Don Cheadle's Miles Davis biopic, Miles Ahead, and also with Common on the Emmy winning Letter to Free for the Ava DuVernay Doc 13th. Memories of that sort of expanding out of just the musical realm to get to do some movies.
Yeah, it's funny. The Miles Davis thing came out of the blue. Don Cheadle tweeted me like, "Hey, love your music." And I was like, "Oh snap!" You know. And then we started talking on Twitter, and then he was like, "I'm doing the movie, Miles Davis movie. Would you be interested? Have you ever scored before?" Yeah. And I said, "Yeah," and I haven't. I lied.
Yeah, so. fake it till you make it.
I totally faked it till I made it. I faked it all the way through, and yeah, we ended up winning a Grammy for best soundtrack for a movie. I was like, oh my, I didn't see that coming because the competition was overly crazy. Like it was like Amy Winehouse Story, Suicide Squad, Straight Outta Compton, and like something else. Like it was crazy. And we didn't see that coming to the point where Don Cheadle didn't even come to the Grammys. He went golfing.
Right.
And then I told him, man, if we win, you got to get dressed and you got to come down to the Grammys. And we won. We ended up winning. And I made him a video from the stage like, yo, we won. So then we walked the red carpet again with Don Cheadle. It was crazy. Yeah. And
Ice Cube.
Couldn't believe it. It was crazy. Then, I did the ending song for the 13th, Ava DuVernay's 13th, which was really dope. We won an Emmy for that. Me, Common, and Kareem Riggins. And that was a really special project because that was my last. Roy Hargrove played on that song as well. Bilal Thing. Roy Hargrove played on that song, and that was the last time I actually got a chance to record with him, or even that was my only time, I think. Recording with Roy, and he passed away, you know, not a few years after that. So, it's great.
Wow.
Great doing that. And, you know, since then, right after that, I did the music for a movie called The Photograph that came out right before the pandemic. And I've done a bunch of series. You know, I did The Winning Time, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I did The Best Man series.
Wait, what did you do for Fresh Prince?
I scored the first season.
You're talking about the original show or the new one, the Bel-Air?
No, the reboot. Okay. Yeah, okay. Reboot, Bel-Air. Yeah, I could have did the first one. I was like 9 or something.
I was going to say, you were like my age watching it.
absolutely. No, but the reboot, I did the first season. Then I recently just did the music for the documentary about Luther Vandross. The Luther Vandross documentary is called Never Too Much.
Oh gosh, I love it.
And we just
music, man.
Man,
what a,
yeah,
what
we
a
just
voice.
it just debuted at Sundance in January. So I'm looking forward to that coming out. You know, where it gets.
Well, you know what? Right now is a fitting time for you to mention Luther because it's March Madness and one shining moment.
There we go.
And hey, real quick, the Photograph movie you're talking about, was that the Issa Rae one, like 20 in Lakeith Stanfield? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It was great. And then it literally was in the theaters for about 2 weeks and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah, man, they couldn't.
So it didn't really get a long run, but it's on streaming services.
Yeah, bad timing. You couldn't have predicted that. But yeah, you can look that up and find it on streaming. Well, hey, final seconds. You've been more than generous with your time, but to finish a thought on movies, other than the ones you've worked on, what is Robert Glasper's, like, you know, jam, like, favorite movies? Like, do you have, like, an all-time favorite? For me, that's such a hard question because it changes on the day. Like, you ask me tomorrow, it'll be different. But do you have, like, a favorite comedy or drama that you, like, can never get tired of?
Never get tired. I can rewatch. Eddie Murphy has a movie called Boomerang.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably that's in my top three movies for sure. Boomerang is one of my favorites. Awakenings is one of my favorites.
Oh, nice.
I love Awakenings. There's a movie called Love Jones.
Of course.
I love. Also, a lot of these movies, a lot of these have great soundtracks too. I like a lot of movies. I like movies that have really good soundtracks as well. Moby the Blues, The Last Dragon, Take You Back, St. Elmo's Fire.
You're just naming classics, man. This is great.
You know what I mean?
you can't go wrong with any of these.
I like With Honors.
Of course.
That's a good one too. With Honors. Yeah.
I remember that one well.
I like movies. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, an underrated Joe Pesci one. Brendan Fraser?
Very underrated.
Brendan Fraser.
Very underrated Joe Pesci.
Yeah, but both Oscar winners now. But
absolutely. He was great in The Well. He was really great in The Well.
Oh, yeah.
That was incredible.
Deserve that. And With Honors, you wouldn't have ever predicted, you know, George of the Jungle and what was the baseball one where he was the scout? Was that it?
You wouldn't have thought he would ever
go on to in The Mummy. You wouldn't think he would ever go on to win, but he was amazing in the
and do all this stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, if you couldn't tell, I could talk with you movies all day, but I'll let you run. You've been generous, my friend. again, everybody, check out your Back to Love as well, right? Don't want to pass that over either. But
yes, that was a single that we put out that was also nominated for a Grammy. It was a single for a series I was scoring called Run the World, and we did that for a scene. And we ended up putting it out as a single. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, cool. I did that. Well, actually produced that one with my son, Riley.
Really?
So he was also nominated with me this year for a Grammy. Yeah, absolutely.
Riley Glasper. So he was about the age when you were scoring The Fresh Prince, when you went back in time to age 9 and you were scoring.
right, basically.
Just for kidding. Sure. All right. Well, anyway, thanks. You've been so great. Again, everyone, Robert Glasper is going to be hosting Absolutely. Black Radio, a Duke and Dilla celebration. It's going to be with De La Soul and a bunch of other and surprise guests on March 30th as part of the Hip Hop and Festival. Hey, thanks for doing
this. Yes, for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Be well.
Peace.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.